Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts, send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. You know, when you have a new kid, having the support of family members can be really good, unless it goes too far.
And one of our stories, it definitely goes a wee bit too far.
If you can combine the ideas of a Dateline episode, a mother-in-law, and kidnapping, that's kind of what you have going on today's episode of My Crazy Family.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our new episodes every single Monday and Wednesday of the week. We do greatly appreciate your support and keeping us on the air. So leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate that as well. Let folks know that we exist. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Some of these stories we have just... They make me feel better about my life.
That's what the show is all about. It's all about making you feel better about yourself because you're not one of these people. Although it would be really awkward if you're listening to the show and you realize, oh, that's me.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that. Like, you know, is a person who's sending in these stories maybe somehow alerting on social media, hey, I just found this really great podcast. You should listen. Uh-huh. But they're dropping a hint. And family member goes, hey, I like podcasts, and then starts listening, goes, wait a minute.
They're talking about me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we have you change the names.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if there's anything identifiable in here, we make sure that we kind of edit it just a little bit.
So you don't have a more awkward Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever holiday you want coming up, because that'll be kind of fun to break out the audio at the table and be like, hey, listen to this. But if you want to share your story with us anonymously, please do. Call 833-CRAY-FAM, 833-272-9326. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or you can also write in at crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com. And we may want to talk about your story on a future episode of the program. What do we got going on today?
All right. Well, first off, my mother's crazy. Says this person, mm-hmm. Alcoholic, bipolar disorder, OCD, and sociopathic tendencies.
Great mix.
You know, it's going to be an interesting final year in high school when the school social worker introduces me to my mother's doctor, who wanted to make sure I had enough information and contact numbers to get the hell out of Dodge in a hurry if mom goes off her meds.
Oh, yes.
That might be your first sign.
At least they're preparing them. I'll give them, I mean, the school and the doctor, that's far beyond what we see in a lot of cases where kids are just like stuck in this situation till they can get away.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Part of me wonders if there's a HIPAA violation in here somewhere.
I don't know. I mean, when it's with the child, I guess if you don't reveal, you know, I don't know. There must be something there. I think there'd be like child protective care or something.
Yeah, that's probably right. So kudos to them for being proactive and getting ahead of this.
Yeah.
So here are some things my mother has done that make me shake my head and wonder. She kicked my biological father out of the house and filed for divorce basically entirely on the word of one of his coworkers that he was, quote, sleeping with the redhead from across town. Ironically, this is how my father was introduced to the redhead across town, who he later lived with.
Wow. So he got introduced by an accusation.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way of doing it.
Talk about foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Stepfather number two was a schizo Vietnam vet alcoholic that she met at an AA meeting. He beat her with the butt of a shotgun that she didn't realize he had brought into the house because she had the gall to have an orgasm before he did. Now,
oh my God. And she picks them well, too. So it's like, leave good situation, go to worse situation.
Yeah, but, you know, shouldn't the guy have been proud that he, you know, got her there?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually not something where you break out the weaponry and start hitting people with the brunt of the weapon. There's not usually many situations for that other than war. But yeah, I think that'd be like a moment of, you know, yeah, you're proud, you're happy. I mean, when you're with somebody, that's a good feeling. It's like, all right, good job.
Yeah, hey, look at me go. I did it.
I personally like to put gold stars up on my wall. And it's very much like kind of what you do when you read a chapter in a book in like fourth grade. You go put a gold star up and then you have names of all the women and then you put a gold star. And then it's a little awkward because the women come in and they're like, who's these other women? And it's like, well, gold stars, you know, I'm kidding. It does not happen.
So it's like a resume. Like, look what I've done.
Could you imagine if somebody did that sort of shit? Like who's Denise? Who's like, oh, well, they were former. Like, don't worry. I'm not with them anymore. It's just, I just want to show you I have a good track record because I have achieved
a lot. That's all I'm trying to show you.
When you're done, I open up the nightstand and I'm like, here you go, honey. Put a star on the wall.
Are these the stars that are stickers or do you have to lick them?
Oh, they're stickers. They're those you get them at the office supply store. And and it's fun when you tell the office supply store what you're doing, too. It's like, oh, what is this? You do like Sunday school? No, this is for when I have sex and I get her to orgasm. She puts a star up on the wall. And then they're like, OK, I'm like, do you have Sharpies? Like, why is that? I don't know. I just like Sharpies.
Just to write the name on it. I need a fine point Sharpie, though.
I bet there's probably some psychotic person out there who actually does that. But
and if you do, we want to hear from you at crazyfampod.com.
We do, because we want to understand how you're thinking, because I'd like to dissect that a little bit. continue on.
We digress.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing on in this story. This is the same winner that disappeared no notice, left all of his stuff behind, and then we got served with eviction notices because a finance company was going to repossess the house because the second mortgage wasn't paid.
Uh-oh.
The fact that they said repossess and not foreclose should indicate the level of professionalism and experience this place had with mortgage lending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it turns out that he went into the finance company with his new girlfriend, signed up for a second mortgage on the house, and walked out with a check for $35,000 an hour later. The girlfriend used a fake ID to pose as my mom. The only reason we figured this out was that they took pictures of all the new customers, and when they showed up to talk to my mom, they realized that the person in their picture was a bit younger and bustier. So it wasn't just a headshot. They got everything.
Yeah. Now, now whose house is being I'm trying to follow this. So the dad went and did this too, or was in on doing dumb shit?
I think dad's house.
Okay. So dad went with his new girlfriend, if I'm understanding correctly, and the girlfriend pretended to be the mom who was on the lease or whatever. And then basically took a home equity loan. Is that?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. $35,000. Wow. Walk out with a check for that. Imagine the damage you could do in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. It continues on. Stepfather number three, she met him at an AA meeting. Hmm. You know, that is not like Tinder, is it?
Well, I suppose you're all there for the same reason. You know, you're trying to get your life on track. I can see how that would happen, being kind of a very cathartic experience where one would feel that they'd have a closer connection to someone. I've never been.
But you've all got the same problem. Yeah. So if somebody's going to fall off the wagon, it just exacerbates your situation too, I would think.
Or if it would, but I mean, if you're using it like, you know, keeping each other in check, I could see that being a positive. But I don't believe that part of their thing is like, I think it's probably prohibited where like you can't date people in here. I don't know. I've never been to one, but I would think that that would probably be a no-no in terms of, you know, just protocol.
Well, I would think so too, but you know, based on the fact that I watch far too much TV, Mike and Molly, they were at Overeaters Anonymous and that's where they met and got married. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not like the AA meeting can stop it and be like, no, you can't date this person. But I could see, you know, someone meeting over, you know, similar life situations and things that they're going through. So I could see that probably being a place where I'm guessing a lot of people meet there, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think it would be hard to have a support system where your significant other is there. And if part of your issues are your relationship,
yeah,
it would just be, you'd have to find another group and then maybe another husband. I don't know.
Well, another group. Well, the story's not done.
It's not done. So 10 months later, after meeting at the AA meeting, he falls off the wagon in such spectacular fashion that no mention is made of him again.
Wow.
There were a couple near misses there, including the one that tried to sleep with my 10-year-old sister.
Oh, God.
Wow.
So she brought somebody in the house that tried to sleep with a 10-year-old sister.
God.
Yeah. That's, I think we talked about this the other day a little bit, just how scary. I mean, you got to vet people. You really got to vet people.
You do.
And even then, you know, you shouldn't be like, oh yeah, come on over with my children here, until you really kind of got that established. Most people don't, but I don't know. When I was, I'm in a committed relationship now and have been more than a year, but when I was single and dating, I didn't introduce my daughter to anybody until it was like, okay, we've been seeing each other for several months and I know that you're not, you know, a killer or something.
Well, you know that they, you know, are stable on a daily basis.
Yeah. It's not like second date, you know, come on over and meet my child.
It's just so dangerous. So the email goes on. That's just the drama from my mother. Mm. My father related drama is worthy of another email and I may do that later.
Ooh. Well, that's, I feel bad for this person because they didn't have anything stable then going on. They had two total fuck ups. And that's going to be a lot of deprogramming of oneself to not repeat and go, well, that's what they did. Isn't this not, oh shit, I shouldn't be doing this. Because what you know is what you know.
It's really difficult. I come from a family where my dad was the fucked up one. Mm-hmm. And my mom was pretty much normal, as normal as you could be having a fucked up husband. But to have at least one stable parent is what kept me fairly sane.
Sure.
I can't imagine having two absolutely messed up parents. I mean, you've got to have some stability somewhere. You've got to have something that you can rely on, that you can trust. I can't imagine you just fending for yourself.
Well, and there's been so much of that where you have two totally fucked up parents. And then they, you know, the kids grow and they, you know, basically fucking repeat. And it's this, and how do you break this? I mean, how do you break this cycle? I mean, every once in a while, somebody breaks out and they're good, but it's usually like, that's like, they're almost the black sheep of the crazy family because they got their shit together and the crazy family still gets together, you know, on the weekends and, you know, drinks barbecue sauce.
Hello, you're talking to the black sheep here.
Exactly. Yeah. But how do you break the bigger cycle where it's not just, you know, the one person who escapes, but how do you fix this cycle? I don't know that there's any way to fix this cycle, you know, without like really stepping on like laws and you know, human rights, you know, or just civil, I don't know what the word would be, but just people's liberties. Without stepping on people's liberties, maybe these people shouldn't have such liberties, but they do. Mm-hmm. And there's no way, because you really got to kind of pull back that curtain and be like, we got to stop this next generation or fix this so it doesn't keep going and going. But I think we're way beyond the point of no return there.
Yeah, and I think several generations stemming back to time of the Holocaust, time to a lot of the wars. I think this multi-generational dysfunction is so far out of control now. And we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. They have proof that genetically trauma changes people. Yeah. And people have been traumatized, and then they just go on and have children who have really fucked up genes because their parents were traumatized. Mm-hmm. And it just continues and continues. And it was one of the decisions that weighed heavily on me. I chose not to have kids because I watched how fucked up my family was, that I just felt I was not going to contribute to letting that continue.
Yeah.
So for me, I took matters into my own hands that, at one point I think I wanted kids,
yeah,
but then I thought, you know, what if I go batshit crazy,
yeah,
in my 40s, and I don't want to do this to somebody else.
You're the one,
I didn't do it.
You're the one that of like all of them that should have had kids, because you would have been good at it, because you think about these things. The people who have the fucked up kids don't think about any of these things. They just do what they're going to do. And then the sane people are always worrying that they're going to fuck up their kids. But it's like, that's good that you worry about that. I'm glad that I worry about that, because that means you're thinking about it. And I think a lot of the problems come in when people just don't think and they're 100% about themselves. And I mean, all roads lead to narcissism. That's where half of this happens. That's how you can have parents that don't give a shit about their kids, and their kids go nuts, and then their kids only see that and they do the same thing. And then it just keeps going and going and going. And I feel bad to a certain extent for some of these people, because they're just products of their situation or where they were born. But at the same point, this has got to stop. I mean, yeah. I think that's how we have the stories that we have today, where there's so many parents that are just like, and she drowned her kids in the bathtub, and then they lit them on fire, or stabbed the kids when the house was on fire. And then she ran out and two of her kids were stabbed to death. I mean, this craziness, there's got to be some way at some point we have to look at this and have some sort of gauge on humankind and say, you're stable enough to continue having children, or to maintain the kids that you have, or to have children or not. But then you get into really crazy, you know, I think there's
civil liberties and things like that. Yeah.
You start becoming a dictator at some point, but it's not to push any race or gender or anything like that around. It's sanity. It's strictly based on competency and sanity. That's all it is. If you're competent and sane, don't matter what you look like. It's all based on that. But then who's judging that? And who's the judge of competency and sanity? So, yeah.
It's a vicious circle. Absolutely.
It just provides great show prep. So I'm glad we found a way to monetize crazy people.
Well, and here's the beautiful part. The people who are emailing in their stories to us, they are aware. And I think awareness is the very first step, if not the second step, to I've acknowledged it. I got to figure this shit out.
Exactly. Yeah. And so maybe the more and more people realize these things, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe it is awareness. The more and more that one realizes, hey, this isn't, you know, the pony and rainbow show that I thought it was. And you're like, oh God, but that's a hard one to kind of grasp too. Because if you thought things were like okay or good or normal, or what you thought of as normal, and you realize, oh, it's not so normal, or healthy, it's hard to break that.
It really is. Our next story. I have awful birthdays. We've all had some shitty birthdays, I'm sure, but this person, kind of takes the cake, no pun intended. My 9th birthday, I had invited nearly my entire class for my birthday, but my best friend at the time wasn't allowed to come because she was a Jehovah's Witness. Not so bad, but I was really bummed. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're 9 years old, you want your best friend at your birthday.
Sure.
My 12th birthday, my grandfather died the day after. Okay. My 13th, I spent in court watching my older brother being sent to jail for 1 year for, get this, walking through an open door at a local school, smoking a joint, and eating a box of ice cream sandwiches with his buddies.
That sounds like a good time.
It does. Getting a year in jail for that?
A year in jail for smoking weed and eating ice cream sandwiches. Only in America.
Yeah. I mean, what? So maybe it was theft and trespassing, but does that warrant an entire year in jail?
There's fucking rapists that get off less than that.
Yeah, you're correct. 14th birthday, a year later, spent in court watching my brother being released from jail. 15th birthday, nobody shows up. Even my best friend at the time, when I call her to ask why she didn't show, she says, I decided to go to the mall and then a movie instead. We aren't friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
17th birthday, spent at a Boston Pizza because my grandmother is at my house and she was dying from cancer. It was actually a fairly good time, but I was so distracted thinking about grandma that I didn't have any fun. 18th birthday, again, nobody shows up. Good Lord. 19th birthday, said fuck it and took myself out, had the best time ever. 20th through the 28th birthdays, I've said fuck it ever since and have loved my birthdays. I know this isn't necessarily a crazy family drama story, but it's the most crazy dramatic thing I can think of that doesn't involve dredging up awful memories. Well, this is, you know, your birthday is a symbolic day.
Mm-hmm.
Other than symbolism, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that others didn't take the time to honor it with you is really painful.
Yeah. And especially if you see them or you celebrate it with them and there's not that reciprocal, you know, care that goes back and forth and it's just ignored.
You know, do we spend too much time celebrating birthdays? I've often wondered that because you do get these, you know, maybe these quiet kids who don't get anybody to come to their birthday parties and it's painful.
It is. You know, I think sometimes birthdays can be overblown as I'm sitting here in the middle, literally, of celebrating my daughter's 10th birthday. Yeah. So we went out last night to Dave and Buster's and had a bunch of my girlfriend and her kids. It was kind of like a family night for all of us together. And we just had a great night. And then we're going to Branson for the weekend and we're going to go and do water park stuff and all that sort of stuff. So I probably have gone overboard, but it's, I don't know. When they're little, they're little. And if I can do it, I'm going to do it to have fun. But
well, absolutely. And it's not like, you know, you've made these arrangements and nobody wants to show up. Everybody that you've invited is like, fuck yeah. If you sent me an invite and I had a way to go, I would totally be there.
Sure.
So it's a whole different story. If you come from a dysfunctional family and things like that, and people just don't bother to show up, it mm-hmm. just becomes this marker of, oh God, here comes that day when everybody's supposed to show, but nobody does.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean, I do think, I mean, sometimes depending on the child, their demeanor to other children will also dramatically affect the turnout at a get together. Yeah. And it's one thing when you have like built-in family that will show up. I grew up in an atmosphere like that where I had tons of aunts and uncles and most of my birthday parties were just family. It was rare that I ever did like a kid one. I think I had it like maybe once or twice. But you always, those people would show up and so you're good there. I had one, birthday party, that was set up, in a previous marriage, for a stepdaughter and come to find out, shortly thereafter, this individual was lying compulsively, making enemies left and right at their school and really just, I wouldn't want to be their friend either if I were the child, and because I found out so much shit later. And she was, oh, I'm best friends with this person and that person. One person showed up, and we had done like the whole basement up into this big theme. Spent a lot of money, just you know, it's like it'll be fun. We really went all out, put a lot of work into it. One person shows up and then like they kind of barely knew each other and then a lot of shit hit the fan shortly thereafter that had nothing to do with the birthday party or anybody showing up, but just learning about what's going on here, you know, like what kind of social things are happening. And then we just found out all sorts of like, holy shit.
Wow.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, to this day, I'm just kind of like, I keep a very long distance from any of that because it was just ridiculous. But Yeah. So I had that when I was a kid. Did you ever any bad birthdays or any times that really stood out to you?
I did. Yeah. Oh, this is going to make me sound so old. Maybe my seventh or eighth birthday at a roller skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go home. And I remember my stepdad like grabbed me by the arm and pulled me off the rink. Like it was fucking time to go.
Yeah.
And we're going. And this was in front of all of my friends. It like devastated me that I was being disciplined in front of all of my friends. And sure. I was crying. And I mean, it was really immature and, you know, nothing really dysfunctional, but it was like, you're not my dad. You can't touch me like that. You know?
Yeah.
So it stuck with me because, you know, here I am how many years later bringing it up.
Yeah. You remembered
it stuck with me because it was like, it was humiliating. I don't remember fighting that much that I didn't want to go. I just wanted to go around the rink a couple more times. And mm-hmm. I think he had just had enough. And sure. So he stepped out onto the rink when I came by and grabbed me and pulled me off. And it turned into a whole thing. I told my dad and I knew that my dad was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And if he heard that some, you know, my stepdad grabbed me by the arm, it turned into a whole thing where lawyers got involved. And,
oh my God.
And so it was bad.
Wow. Well, that be,
and it was all my fault because yeah. if I had not told my dad, none of that would have happened.
Sure.
But I knew that my dad was going to go fucking crazy that this guy grabbed me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I used it to my advantage and looking back, it was really unfair, but
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Like I said, you come from a crazy family, you do crazy shit.
Yeah. And it starts to seem normal. I remember I had one birthday where I was a kid. We were cleaning out my grandparents' home, who I never met. They had died far before I was born. But the family rented out the house for many years. And the last renters were leaving. They were selling the house and they just left piles of shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. Not literally feces, but just like hoarder shit.
Yeah.
So we were cleaning it out, but there was the barn and me and my cousins went down to go play in the barn. And we were jumping from hay bale to hay bale and I took a big fall and like landed on my back, missing a jump. And I remember being in so much pain and never went to the doctor or anything, you know, because it's like 91. And it was just like it was painful. I wonder if I have any long lasting injuries from that I'm unaware of that have never been brought up yet, or I'll discover later in life going, did you ever have a back injury? Like, well, one time when I was
you
like
could have fractured nine, a vertebrae and not I really
know.
Known it.
I was like nine. I know. But that many adult birthdays, I have to say I had a birthday not that long ago. It was one of the best I've had because it was filled with people who care and weren't out for themselves on that day. And I don't want a bunch of attention on me on really ever, other than when I'm on the air. But it was really nice to be able to go and do some stuff and have some fun. And people were loving and caring because I had so many years of my adult life where it was like clockwork. Anytime there was a celebration, anytime there was a holiday or a birthday that was not this other person's birthday, there was some sort of crazy histrionic drama that would be presented on that day like fucking clockwork. You could look at something the wrong way. You could, I mean, just whatever. I mean, if there was some way to find fault at some point with something and turn it into something that was 1,000 times worse than it actually was, that's where it would go. I can remember so many birthdays where it was like the significant other wasn't talking to me or they would go and just be silent and basically play the role of people with those disorders. And it was torturous because you're like, what the hell? Like we're all having a happy day and this and that. And so many of the I started to really dread holidays and birthdays and anything like that, because every fucking time.
Like clockwork.
And then I learned later on, after doing my own research and talking to psychologists and therapists and stuff, like, oh, this is kind of what they do. It's like, it's almost as if there's a playbook that people take, and they just run these plays and they seem to be somewhat unaware of it, but they do it. And it's just torturous, but you get used to it. You think, well, this is normal, or maybe there is something wrong with me, or this or that. No, it's this person. It's that person doing that sort of shit. But yeah, I'm glad that that ship has sailed and it's things are happy again on holidays.
Boy, that's such an amazing transformation to go from always being steeped in that shit to finally going, wait a minute. Nope, not anymore.
Yeah. And you don't really realize till it's done. And you're like, but you're always bracing. You know, you're always sitting there bracing for impact.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to the point now where finally I'm like, I don't have to brace for impact anymore because this person's not that person and craziness is not there. So
what a wonderful feeling.
It is.
Well, speaking of crazy, our last story is about a mother-in-law.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm just here to vent about the annoying things my mother-in-law says to my new baby. I had my son just over 3 months ago, and my mother-in-law has actually been surprisingly well-behaved. We put a rule in place that no one can hold him until his two-month shots have kicked in, which she has respected, and she even wears a mask when she visits us, despite us not requiring this. So that's good, right?
Okay, yeah. Being proactive, yeah.
Exactly. However, every time she's around my baby, she complains to him that she's not allowed to hold him, saying repeatedly things like, "Don't worry, soon I will kidnap you. Soon we'll ditch your parents and go for long, long walks without them. I have a cradle at home, so you'll be all set. We just have to figure out the milk. Maybe we can buy a cow." The fuck? So she goes on to say, after she says these things, I'll go back to my baby and say, so my mother-in-law can hear, "Don't worry, baby. Mommy won't ever let her kidnap you." But she fully acts like she doesn't hear me and just repeats herself. Like, why are you so obsessed with being alone with my baby? There is literally zero need for her to babysit, and I exclusively breastfeed. So I don't get why she expects him to spend the night at her house without us or even go for a walk. Good Lord, mother-in-law.
Is it one of go ahead.
I don't think this is funny. I don't think joking about kidnapping a child, I don't find that funny.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens to people. This is not something to joke about.
There's so many passive-aggressive mother-in-laws that will say things like this. And, you know, is she truly a threat? I don't know if there's any sort of history of anything like that. Yes, but if there's not, she's probably someone who, you know, she's saying these things to passive-aggressively kind of be bitchy and be like, oh, you're too overprotective and things of that nature without saying it directly. But at the same point, it's just kind of creepy. And one's version of what, because they'll say, oh, I'm joking. It's just a joke. You can't take a joke. That's what usually the go-to is with somebody who says things like that. And it's like, it's not a joke if the other person isn't laughing. Now, if you find it funny, good for you, but when you're repeatedly upsetting or making others uncomfortable, that's not a joke anymore. I mean, there's plenty of funny, horrible shit I'd love to say out loud all the time, but I don't, unless there's a microphone on and I'm doing a podcast. But if I'm in real life, I just shut the fuck up because it's not appropriate. Now, when you're with somebody who you know appreciates those sort of things, go for it. But if it's not, shut the fuck up. But I just feel there's so many mother-in-law type characters that this whole concept completely eludes them. It's whatever they think is funny, everyone else must. And if they don't, well, there's something wrong with them. Like, no, people are just different. And that's all there is to it. It just know what's appropriate and what's not.
And don't forget, too, a woman who has just had a child, their body is going through so many hormonal changes that even if this is somebody who you thought could take a joke, maybe right after the birth,
they are
just so messed up in the head and sleep deprived and their body is just not bounced back yet. If you say something that looks like it upsets them, you need to be taking note that, all right, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I said that. I apologize. It didn't land right. I won't do this again. I mean, fucking know your audience.
I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that's one thing that drives us nuts about human beings.
Yeah.
Is we've that was our job. I mean, it still is today. It's know your audience. And we've had that instilled in us for many, 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 many decades. I think, but most people never have to learn that.
But don't you find that in our lives, even though that was drilled into us as radio personalities, it really does fit in everyday life? Know the room, know your audience.
Yeah. It would be a very good skill to teach children.
Yeah. You don't want to be upsetting people. You have to know, where are the boundaries in the room? And that's where that whole know your audience. Yeah. If you've got a sleep deprived hormonal mother who just gave birth and you're making jokes about stealing her child, that's her child is all she is fucking dealing with. Yeah. This is her life right now. Her life is completely centered around this child and you're making horrific jokes and they're not landing well. And she's looking at you funny. You need to pay attention to that. And if you don't, I'd kick her ass right out of the house. This just gets me all charged up.
Know your audience is an important thing, but I feel like we're in a society now where it's flipped and it's almost the opposite, where the person that is speaking or is on stage or just living life is really what we're talking about. They expect the audience to know them.
Yes.
And to know all of their idiosyncrasies and know everything that affects them in any way, shape, or form. And if one person in that group of thousands of people you interact with just goes about their life and you happen to pick up on something that offends you, was not directed at you by any way, shape, or form, they want to be offended by it. And then everyone has to essentially reconvene or rethink everything about how they live their life because that one person over there got offended. Now, 99 out of 100 don't give a shit or they're cool with whatever is being said. But if that one person does, then holy shit, shut down the show, cancel it, make everything change because that one person over there got upset. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing if you're making brash, horrific statements against a group of people. Yes, then that is not good. But if you just happen to be slightly offended or uncomfortable or this or that because somebody said something that has nothing to do with you and it's a story or it's comedy or whatnot, we need people don't have coping skills. And that's where we need to get back to some of that too. Know your audience, but guess what? The audience should not be conforming to you. You should be conforming to them. And if it's not the right audience, find your audience. Go to a place that does think more like you. And I think we see some of that, but we see so much of it where people are trying to blaze into existing cultures and existing groups and this and that. And you all need to change and be like this. Well, that's quite an extreme leap that we're going from here. I don't have any problem with you, but no, go to your group. And why should all these others change? There's too much. It is narcissism. It's narcissism that plays into that, where everyone must honor my feelings and
Be more like me. You can't be like you.
Be like me. Don't be like you. Honor my feelings. And I don't care if me telling you to feel a certain way offends you because it makes me feel good. That whole thing is completely disregarded. And it's like, this is the opposite of getting along or sanity. This is one person saying you almost feel exactly how I feel. And if you don't, you're a horrible human being.
Yep, you nailed it.
Yeah. Good times for all. All right. Is that all of our stories for today's episode?
That is it. That's all we've got.
That's going to wrap up our episode. If you want to share your crazy family story with us, go to I got to pull it up here because my computer's not functioning.
Crazyfampod.com. If you want to call in, it's 1-833-CRAYFAM. Which comes out to 833-272-9326.
Look at you. You're more on the ball than I am on this because I'm using a backup computer here in the mouse.
I'm a former radio person. I know. What do you want?
And I have too many phone numbers in my head to remember what's what. So there you go. Please share your story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. For Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy
family.